Hello, friends. Welcome to the Hillside Church podcast. My name is Brad, and I serve Hillside Church as the lead pastor. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you in this way. God has so much in store for you and for your life, and one of the ways God works in our lives is through the study of his word, like the message you're about to hear. Our prayer for you is that as you share in this message, if it's me preaching or if it's someone else, is that God's word would minister to your heart and life in a most powerful way. Thanks again for being part of our church family. God bless you.
Today, I'm actually representing our national church office as one of our missions coordinators. So I'm giving you a missions update. You'll be one of the first churches to get an update like this and see a brand new announcement that we are announcing for missions that's very exciting. And as I was preparing, I was thinking, this isn't very like preach-worthy, like in the sense of like it's not this, you know, message that's going to be profound and touch your heart, but it is call-worthy. So the Lord might be calling you to missions. Maybe he's calling you to be someone who stays but contributes to missions. So I just want you to open your hearts and just be open to the call this morning. Deal? Oh, I don't know about that. Maybe online. Maybe they're like agreeing with me. But it just open your heart to that. There's different roles. So I don't want you to sit here feel guilty like, oh, I don't think I'm called to go or I ain't going. Don't feel guilty. There's lots of roles and there's people that need to stay. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. Matt or somebody, I need a helper. I've got something for the students. And so, Matt left me, so I need somebody to help me out. So hopefully, I don't have more than seven. I only have seven left. So they get a paper and a little craft. So all the students that are hanging out down here. And hopefully I have enough. I think I do. Maybe not. I don't know. So anyway, what's in this, it's a little thing on how to share the gospel. I actually have one more page here. You might need it. And so it's how to share the gospel using these colored beads. I have used this in a missions trip. Every single missions trip that I have done, we have used this as a really simple way to share the gospel. So I wanted to give the students some an opportunity. I have one more left, but the bracelet's already made. So I wanted to just give them an opportunity to read some things on missions. And then if you can come to me after the service and without looking at the paper, tell me what all the colors mean, then Matt's got some candy in his office for you, if you're motivated by that. All good? You got candy left over from the... Okay, awesome, good. So here I am. I come to you as one of the missions coordinators for, if we have one more, it's already made. William, this is yours. You don't even have to make it. Oh, you got one. Oh, they all got one. All righty. Sounds good. Okay, all good. Okay, so I am one of the national coordinators. There's two coordinators. Actually, I'll get to that in a second. I'm going to tell you a little bit on how I ended up in this role. So I've been on their committee for quite some time, and I've never been a coordinator. Shannon Liu is also on our committee now, and she helps me out with minutes and things. But prior to that, actually, as a young believer, I ended up on the mission field. So I gave my life to the Lord when I was in university, in my first year of university. I continued to go for the second year, but I knew that God was calling me. I knew that it wasn't to stay in university. And thank goodness that my parents weren't paying for my university schooling. I was paying for it myself, so didn't matter, I guess. So I left after that first year. I left and I just went on the missions field. If any of you have heard of Youth with a Mission, I went with YWAM. So I did my discipleship training school in Cambridge, Ontario, the first time I'd ever been on a plane flying to Cambridge. And then I ended up in Bogota, Colombia. So my outreach was in Guatemala, and I just felt God calling me to Colombia. So I was in Colombia in the early 80s when the whole some of you won't know this, but those older people will, those are that are maybe my age or older, the whole Pablo Escobar drug cartel thing was going down. I lived there. And there was a threat out that for every drug lord that was extradited to the U.S., that they were going to kill five Americans. Well, they don't stop you and go, are you American or Canadian? You just don't look Colombian. So we couldn't go out on the street for a while. We had a bomb threat to our house where we lived, like crazy stuff. But I was just so naive, just going out and making friends and talking about Jesus and working with the street kids. So I worked with the kids that are really, they live on the street in Colombia. They're well known. They're very dangerous to be hanging out with, but they trusted us and we had a good relationship with them. And so we had a whole ministry to the street kids. So that's kind of where I came from. I was there for about 3.5 years and then came home, started having kids and meant to go back to the mission field shortly after. And I didn't, I just stayed. Now I've become a mobilizer. And we're gonna talk about that important role in a minute. So this is how it works. So basically our national office, where's my slides? Okay, let me just skip through here. You're gonna get me up to speed there? Carmen left me. Okay, so Canadian Foursquare Mission. So we've got two coordinators, myself and Jonathan Hodgins. He lives in Toronto. We have Dana Bai from our national office, does our financial stuff for us. And then we have a committee. And Shannon Liu, like I said, is on our committee. And we meet once a month. We make decisions where money's going to go, who we're sending on the field, who we're not sending on the field, who needs training, what kind of training they need, and all that kind of stuff. So that's what we do. Our mandate basically is to oversee, support, and send missionaries, and then also to stir our Canadian churches to action in prayer, giving, and going. And then the last one, and probably most important in some ways, is to steward the funds really well. And so we make very careful decisions on what projects are funded, who we're helping. A couple of years ago, I actually went to Zimbabwe to check out. We had an ask from Zimbabwe, and so we went there to actually see what are they doing and how is that all working, and so we could see if that was viable or not. So we have a vetting process for that. This is where our funding comes from, just a little update here. Our national board gives us a little bit of endowment funds that if we need those, we can use those. But most of our funding comes from giving, general giving from churches. So there's about half of our Canadian churches that are giving to missions. They will either take up an offering, that's what Hillside does, or they'll give like a 1 or 2% of their general money coming in to missions. And so we have a faithful church here. I love being part of that and that we are faithful to that whole missions process. Right now, we have, this is our current missionary status. So up to this point, you're going to hear a new announcement this morning, there's only one way to go on the field, and that was become a licensed minister like pastor. So do your schooling, go to PLBC, or take our Foursquare diploma program and become a licensed pastor. Then they had to, in the past, they had to actually plant a church before they could even go on the field. And then they go on the field full time. So that was the only way to go. So right now, we've got two missionary families that are full time. You're going to see them in a second or a little slide of them. We have one, what we call a full-time partner missionary, and that's a missionary couple. I spoke about them last month, the Brazies, that are sent from our Foursquare U.S. Contingency, and they have sent them. But Marcy actually, she hails from Manitoba, I believe. And so she has connection here in Canada, so we partnered with them, and we support that family just like we support our other two missionary families. We support them monthly, and we support them like with a Christmas bonus, or if they've got a special project that they want to do, we support them in those special projects that they have or need. If there's a disaster in the area, we'll help them with that. So let's just take a look. So we've got, we've talked about all these missionary families. We're going to hear about the Kellys coming up, but I've talked about Lana and her husband, Jonathan. They live in Costa Rica. Lana comes from the Lower Mainland. She actually was, she worked at Children's Hospital in, and it's escaping me for the moment, but anyway, she left a full career at Children's Hospital in a specialist role to go on the field and serve. And she started off just going and serving. And then this whole thing called Costa Rica Kids happened. And so right now they support over 1,000 children all throughout the poorer areas of Costa Rica. They travel all around the country and they outfit those kids in uniforms and shoes. And they can't go to school unless they have a uniform and shoes and their little backpack with their stuff. So they outfit them in that. They go around partway through the year. They disciple the families. They spend time with them. They pray with them. They just had a church plant last week in someone's home in a little town that doesn't have a church. And it just happened. Yeah. If you, if you're interested, you can get on Lana's WhatsApp update group. And there are constantly things coming in on that. Not only for us to pray for them, but miracles. Like they saw a miracle 2 weeks ago. A little girl had cancer and she went back in for her diagnosis or whatever checkup that she had to do. It was completely gone. The doctor says, if you believe in God, this had to be God. And this little girl is completely healed of cancer. It's just, and so you'll hear stuff like that all the time. It's super cool. It's really, you know what? If you're bored with life, the mission field is very exciting. There's stuff happening all the time. It's honestly, it's a great life. So anyway, Lana, Jonathan, and then we have the Kelly family. So we've got John and Anna Lee, and we're going to have an opportunity to spend time with John and little Levi in person in June. So I'm excited about that. He's got, have you guys ever played Kahoot? So I don't know, we're going to play Kahoot and all kind of missions oriented. And so we'll hear from him and hear some personal stories about what is going on and the miraculous and the lives change and the things that are happening in their vision. We'll hear that in June. So that's the Kelly family. They're actually from the Toronto area, from a little tiny church in the Toronto area that ended up on the field in Estonia. His wife's Estonian, actually, but she's from here. And then we've got the Brzee family, and this is the partner missionary family that we have that are full-time. They're in Germany, and their goal is to plant a church in Cologne, Germany. They've been there about 7 years. They also do a little bit of work with our sister organization, Foursquare Missions International. They do a little bit of work with them. Marcy organizes a lot of their events over on that side of the world. So that's where we're at. But something has to change, right? So I believe that as a Canadian church, we're called to more than just 3 missionaries on the field. So we have actually one person in the deployment process right now for a full-time missionary. Some of you might know him, John Fleck from Cornerstone. And yeah, he's in the deployment process right now, and he's going through training. He's doing all sorts, jumping through all the hoops we're making him jump through. But he will be a full-time missionary, so he's in the deployment process right now. So my focus right now really is to stir those hearts. And God is stirring those hearts. He gave me a verse a couple weeks ago, and it was about Samson. And when he was young, God began to stir his heart because he was going to be the deliverer for Israel. And God began to stir his heart when he was young. And I thought, you know what? That is what's happening. Hearts are beginning to be stirred or re-stirred. Maybe you felt a call to missions a long time ago and didn't end up on the field. Or maybe you did and came back like I did. I just want you to know that God is a redeemer. He is a redeemer of your plan and your life, and I just want to encourage you just to open up your heart and say, okay, God, what have you got for me? Where do I fit in on this? Because we can all play a role in some way. So I felt like our missionary endeavor of sending people to the field, I felt like we were stuck. And when Steve, our president, interviewed me, he said, what do you see? What needs to happen? I said, we got to fill the pipeline. There is nothing in the pipeline right now. There's no short-term trips going on. People aren't really interested in missions. So we've got to stir that up. We have to fill the pipeline. And so we began to change a couple of things. One of the things is we wanted to increase short-term trips. So we have some incentive where if people are going on a short-term trip, they can apply for some funds from us to help out with their trip. And that's what happened on the trip that Yvonne and I went on, that our national office paid for some very specific projects when we were on the ground in Costa Rica. So we wanted to increase short-term trips. We needed to streamline our deployment process because it was quite cumbersome. And we need to communicate better. So we are working on that. I'm wanting to get off Facebook, but now I found myself on because now I'm having to just kind of stir that up. So I just want to speak really revival into this missions deployment process and to speak revival into your lives. It starts with personal revival, right? So there's a couple of verses that the Lord really highlighted to me. One of them is Psalm 105, verse 1. And there we go. So it says, give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Proclaim means to speak that out, to talk about it. Proclaim his greatness and let the whole world know what he's done. So that was the first verse that the Lord gave me. And then he gave me another verse, and I believe that this is prophetic. It's from Colossians 1. And anyway, I'm standing on this verse. It's Colossians 1, verse 6, and it says, this good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives. Just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. And I truly believe that we're going to see revival in the ability and the desire to send out missionaries and being able to do that, and that it's going to bear fruit everywhere it goes. So we started off really with when we thought about, like, what do we have to change other than the few things I mentioned, is we thought about two things that we could do. One of them is that we could appoint or assign or have a volunteer from every church a missions mobilizer. So there's 60 churches in Canada, 64 square churches. My goal is to have a mobilizer from in each church. And so that needs to be somebody that has maybe a heart for missions, maybe they've been on a missions trip, maybe not, but they have a heart for missions. They will look to connect with their pastor and update them, update their congregation, and hop on a little prayer call, a Zoom call for an update and prayer with me or one of our team once a month. So Shannon and I are kind of for Hillside. Shannon and I are kind of already doing that because Brad, actually prior to me getting this role, our pastor, Brad, asked Shannon and I to do missions updates. And I have to tell you, that is kind of rare for a pastor to say, have the stage for 10 full minutes and talk about missions, and that it comes from them. And so, but he was already on this track. We started doing this 2 years ago, and then I just happened into this role. And so we're already doing that. So we have missions mobilizers already. I wouldn't mind mentoring a young person to do that. So if somebody's interested in doing that, I would love to mentor you. But I would love to have a couple of prayer people that wouldn't mind maybe hopping on that call. They don't have to speak up front here, but they wouldn't mind hopping on that call with me once a month and just being a prayer support for missions. So if that interests you, come talk to me. So the other initiative that we came up with was not actually me. It was Lizzie Jorgensen, who was the old coordinator. She pastors a church in Kimberley, BC. And it was her and Jonathan that came up with this idea to have a mission specialist. And this is a part-time and short-term role. So part-time meaning you could live here and then go out for a month or 2 or 3 months and do missions and then come back. Short-term would be anywhere between 3 months to 2 years. And so that's what we mean by that. And you don't need to be licensed. We have training. We have some good courses for you to take. And we'll have you go down to the U.S. and take some courses down there with them, with their missions training. But the door is wide open. So I'm going to show you a little bit about this before we close today. I have a video that's going to play, and Matt's going to turn the lights down a little bit for me. But we're going to make this announcement at our convention next week. This is the first time a church is seeing this announcement. It's the long version. It's not the church version, and there's a reason I'm showing you the long version this morning. But I just want you to listen to this.
Imagine a potter with their wheel. They shape clay with skill and purpose, creating vessels that are innovative and beautifully made. We sensed a calling for Canadians to be vessels and carry healing to the nations, a unique mantle that often opens doors with great favor. Yet, despite this calling, few had stepped onto the mission field. Previously, there had existed only one path for sending missionaries: full-time commitment to long-term missions. But now, a new door is opening. And so our creative endeavor began, a process that is now reshaping the trajectory of Canadian missions. Our Foursquare leaders answered the call and took a journey akin to crafting pottery and created a new role, the missions specialist. This new missionary opportunity is like a vessel awaiting its purpose, waiting to be filled and poured out to the nations. A role designed for flexibility, creativity, and unique assignments all across the globe. Now, both part-time and short-term missionary opportunities are open, diversifying our approach and maximizing our impact. This also gives us unique and legitimate opportunity to go into creative access areas that are often closed. The Lord's timing is not wrong. Consider that He has shaped you and creatively designed you for such a time as this. Just as a potter shapes various vessels for different purposes, each of us is like clay in the potter's hands. God is molding us and refining us to His purposes. Now is the time where the doors are opening and the possibilities are endless. We are expecting harvest in the world of missions, and invite you to play a role in that harvest. With the skills, experience, and favor the Lord has given you, how can you go as a missions specialist?
So I am so excited about what God is doing. The secret with this video is that we need to honor Lizzie Jorgensen for the years. She used to be a missionary in Botswana, and she served with Foursquare for many years, doing the coordinator role, has done some amazing, amazing things. And we need to honor her. So the vase, the picture that is being created in this video, is actually being given to her by our national president as a gift, as a thank you. And so we're tying it all together. Super excited. I might be a little bit of a mess that day, but anyway, there's just so much that can be done. And I'm gonna go through a couple of the ideas before we close of what can be done. And just giving you an idea, we have one gentleman and his wife in the process right now, Kevin and Priscilla Yee. They go to Northside Church in the Lower Mainland. And they are, he's from China, and they're wanting to do part-time missions to China. So they have young adults, children, that one of them has some special needs. They can't go for years on end, but they could go one at a time or for, for a month or that type of thing, depending on what stage their kids are at. And so they're preparing to go. So this is perfect timing for them. They will be deploying probably in the next couple of years. And, like, if you scan the code, or when I'm back next week, I'll have a couple little brochures that'll have the information, or if you go to our website, you can see just tons. There's so many different ways that you can go. You could just go and serve. You don't have to have any skill. You could just love the Lord, and you could just go and serve. There are missionaries that need someone with a servant heart and some just some ministry and desires to serve in ministry and to serve them. They could use that help. They could use a break. And so why not do that? We've got people who have businesses that could actually start their business in another country. It is a thing. It's called Business as Missions. And there's a team of people that you can connect with and that you can actually run your business, if depending on the business, obviously, in another country, and hire people. You use it as a way to spread the gospel there. If you have some business development skills, you could go and train an artisan who makes a craft that can be sold, but they don't know how to run business. They don't know how to do the paperwork. They don't know how to promote themselves. So you could go and actually teach them business skills. So you could go and do that in different parts of the world, partner with organizations and missionaries to do that. If you're a professional, maybe a counselor, or a dentist, or a chiropractor, or some healthcare worker, and you want to go and bring your skills to the field using that, you could do that part-time or short-term. And specialized skills, like if you're like a worship leader, can do music and stuff, you know, maybe Marcy and Brandon and Marcy need like a worship leader as they plant their first church. Maybe they need someone to come in for the first 6 months and begin to launch and get their team, their church ready and going for worship. You can teach your, maybe you have a craft like sewing or that type of thing, and you could go in and you could teach a group of people to sew so they can be self-sufficient. Zimbabwe would be a good one for that if anybody wants to join me on that one. And we've got, what else have we got? We've got, these are just some things I've come up with. The website's got a lot more. If you have trades expertise, like in like a mechanic, an architect, I don't know, carpentry, those types of things, those you could go part-time or short-term and bring those skills to the field on a project that needs those type of skills. We had, last week when I spoke in Edmonton, there was a family that was listening to this, and they are, number one, they're super bored with their life, even though they have two little kids. I'm like, you're bored with two little kids? Like they're always looking for something, like, to do. He has water treatment skills. That's what he does. He does water treatment stuff. Well, when it comes to Foursquare disaster relief, we could get them trained in that, and then they could be here just waiting. And when there's a disaster that needs their skills, his wife is also trained. She was trained in the Army in the Philippines and knows how, that she's been attending in disaster. She has training in those areas. They can just choose, are we ready? Can we deploy? Can we go and do this? And Foursquare Disaster Relief, we don't just go in and fix the problem or, you know, fix the water or provide tents. We actually will always work with Foursquare churches in the area. We come in and we equip them and then we leave. And they are then equipped to attend to the disaster and continue to disciple people in the area. So there's that option. And then we've got prayer. Did you know that there is a team that goes to closed countries all across the globe, and they just go and they pray, and they pray for open doors? Like, hey, I think I'm in on that one. So there's so many different ways to go, and I just want to encourage you that God's timing is not wrong. You maybe have heard that call to missions at one point. Maybe it was meant that you were supposed to go at that time, like it was for me, but maybe not. Maybe it was meant so that you were ready with the skills and the favor that you have right now. Maybe it was meant to be now, or maybe 2 years from now. So I just want to plant that in your heart. And I want to remind you that we all can play a role here. There are important staying roles Because if everybody went to the field, who supports them, right? Who prays for them? And we need more than just one giver. So there's the giving role, there's the praying role, and there's the mobilizer role. And even though you might not be a official mobilizer for a church, you can be an encourager of missions. Because it is difficult if you decide, I'm gonna go to the mission field. I'm gonna sell all my stuff. That's against normal, and they need your encouragement. And let me also encourage you on the giving aspect. It's consistent small amounts that make the difference. And so I want to encourage you in that. If you feel called to stay, to try and step into some of those roles. If you want to be my prayer partner, let me know, and I'll hook you in on that. But let's just pray, church, together, and just be open to asking the Lord what he has for us in particular. So, Father, we thank you that you even trust us with your message, with your important message. We honor you. We thank you for that message, Father, and we want to be obedient. And so, Father, we just we pray for a stirring in our hearts, and we open ourselves up for you to stir our hearts. And Father, I pray that each one of us would just follow in simple obedience to whatever you are calling us, whether it's to be an encourager, a mobilizer, a giver, someone who prays for the world, or whether you're calling us to actually leave where we are and go to the mission field. Father, I release multiple times of confirmation for these individuals. And Father, I thank you again that you trust us with your message. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks again for being a part of this message from Hillside Church. We pray that God was able to speak to you through what was shared. We're so grateful to be able to share God's word with our church community and family, and that includes you. And we'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Hillside Airdrie. You can contact us through email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca, or you can go to hillsideairdrie.ca and click on Contact Us from the main menu, or you can find our pastoral team contact by clicking on Our Pastors from the Our Church drop-down menu. Our vision for everyone that shares in Hillside Church is that they would know God, know his hope, know his purpose, and know his power in their lives. And we pray this message ministered to you. At Hillside Church, we're a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. As family, we go.